Hey, we're back. And again, Laura, thank you for bringing that up. I've been sitting here contemplating this, and there are definitely times when I've crossed a line and I shouldn't have. And it's a terrible feeling on everyone's part when that happens. And it happens just because we're imperfect. But it's so good to be aware of that. I can't remember, was there someone else in this group that I asked permission of before we started, whether I could bring up or kind of use you as an example, like I did with Ken? I purposefully asked his permission before the group was in there. Was there, maybe it was Lakshmi. Did I ask you some permission for something?
No.
No? Okay. I don't remember.
This is Trish, Sarah. You asked if I would share with the group that not everybody knew about my past circumstances with my son. So you did ask for that. And sort of
And
turned it on me and said, do you want to tell instead of you? But you asked me permission to bring it up.
So you can always call me on it. I give everyone permission to call me on it. And it really does have a lot to do with safety and respect. And it's also interesting because I wanted to introduce a topic that is related to that, and that is energetic and telepathic safety. And to bring up the topic to just start contemplating that for yourself and what it feels like when there you feel like some kind of invasion on your personal consciousness space or some leaning on it or hanging on it. And it can also extend into entity invasion, things like that. And in our culture, there's very little awareness around that. And so we can kind of visit that in parts and pieces throughout this training. And so a question to contemplate, that kind of can evoke some thoughtfulness around it, is this. Let's say you're holding a sacred circle, and a weekly sacred circle, something that is regular. And someone who's attended decides not to register because they have determined that they can tune into the energy without being part of the class. And what would you do as a facilitator of the group, and what would that bring up in you? It's a way of bringing some focus to these energetic boundaries and triggering a lot of stuff in us.
Does the sacred circle itself provide protection?
That's a sliding scale. On some levels it does, and on some levels, not necessarily.
So, Sarah, I can see where I would, there would be a mix of real anger, real sadness about the poor boundaries that the person was showing, how to handle it. I don't know.
What would you have to go through to begin handling it?
I mean, it would start with my own reclaiming my energy, reestablishing my boundary, coming to some level of acceptance without the other pieces projecting outward.
Mm-hmm.
But then, is that a phone call? Does one ignore it? I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. We haven't been trained in this. And most people haven't. So there's not necessarily anything malevolent going on. Lack of awareness or ignorance, or maybe not. Maybe it's totally fine.
It's funny because the first thing I thought was, oh, that's pretty clever. I would have never thought to do that. I'm not that clever. but then as I sat with it, I wasn't sure if I'd be angry or frustrated or what. And then I guess kind of like it was a mind game. But then what came to me was just to share with that person sort of the sacred law of reciprocity, and maybe that, you know, maybe that is a violation of that reciprocity. I guess that's what I came up with.
Interesting. Yeah. So this is all, we need to bring up whatever comes to us here, so that kind of put it into the soup, because it is something you'll encounter if you're working with a group regularly. And so we just want to kind of throw all the feelings and thoughts about this into a soup and let it start cooking, not necessarily coming up with an answer, but see what it stimulates.
Sarah, this is Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
More of a question. When you put forward that question, I think I was momentarily shocked, because I think I've also believed like ethics and the energy work kind of a linked. And now it feels like the foundation is shaky, because if someone's going through all this work, processing heavy energy, but still is not ethical, I am a little, actually pretty much thrown off by just that concept.
Mm-hmm. Good. It's good to be thrown off by that. Because it is really a very unexplored area, and the possibility of exploring it now is coming to light. And it's literally, I mean, to even just talk about tuning in to someone else's energy, And is it really not ethical? It's not necessarily out of the bounds, out of ethical bounds, because if the energy is free,
It is not fair to the other participants. Wouldn't that make it unethical?
it depends. It really is something to contemplate and let it deepen and have layers of it come to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sarah, it's Kim. I remember, I guess it was years ago when we were meeting in person and at the lake in the cabin, and this is something that did come up. And my first response was really a reaction, which was, I paid for the class, kind of a thing. So that was my initial like anger, like, wow, this isn't right or fair, kind of what Lakshmi was saying. And then I was also thinking about just now that when we sign up for a class, the class begins. So there's something about when you pay for something, and that's our system of how we do things in this 3D realm. And then there's the piece where the class begins as soon as we sign up. So there's something in that if the person who is able to hop in class telepathically, even if it's good natured, I can see the free energy piece, what you're saying there, and I'm starting to understand that. But I guess it's how the structure of the class. I'm just talking out loud.
No, and we want to do that.
Okay.
I'm serious about putting everything into the soup
Yeah.
so that it starts gestating.
When I say structure, it's more like what you have as the facilitator has, what you're working with energetically, and what's coming through you to hold as a class. I'll just call it a structure. I think when someone just hops in, there is a violation there.
If there was no payment involved in the class, would that change how you think of it?
Yeah, I think I would feel differently. But it also, then I'm getting judgy on, okay, is that person who's telepathic, are they ethical about it? Or are they in the group looking, and what are they doing? Are they literally taking the class as we would, or are they being invasive or nosy, or are they really wanting to participate? So there's like different levels of how are they viewing. Hey, Sarah, this is Trish, and I think I'd probably have to admit, you and I have had, I unconsciously maybe want to be on a retreat. And I, before I go to sleep, I think about it, but then all of a sudden I'm there in the retreat and I have to consciously pull myself back out of the retreat. And then I have written you saying, I'm very sorry. I did not mean to do that. I didn't, I really didn't. I didn't think I did at least. But now, so I have to be very mindful because I can travel where no man should ever go. I definitely, when you have like it, your last Costa Rica trip, I really wanted to be there. I mean, with all my heart, I wanted to be there, but I couldn't be there. So
wait, Trish, we lost you there for a second. So you said, and then after you like written me and apologized and all that kind of stuff, and then you go, and then we lost what you said. We couldn't hear you.
I really wanted to go to Costa Rica. And I couldn't. I didn't have the money. I couldn't. And I just had to like really sit with it. So there is a part of me that, you know, because I travel to places where no man should probably ever go. I just, when I go to sleep, I'm out. I'm going to go see what you're doing. And I really have to consciously pull myself back. Like what I'm, my point being is that sometimes we are fully unaware. We as human beings are fully unaware of how much our emotions of something can really drive us through the energies. And we have to be conscious enough to pull it back and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or I ask for help because sometimes I need help in that realm. Mm-hmm. So I ask the angels to put up a shield around me so I won't leave. So there's also the aspect that some people are doing it more based from a love standpoint than a than that. But I have written you two or three times and said, "Oh, I showed up in class. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that." And you have said, you know, that's okay. I'm glad you were aware of it. We're just emailing so I don't know if there's really a way to put up a specific boundary.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between you connecting with the class and you connecting with Mount Shasta?
Not much. I don't think. If I want to connect up to Mount Shasta, I have to do a few things, and then I do ask permission of the spirit of the land and the spirit of Mount Shasta. May I come? Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm just saying, I just wanted to point out that some people aren't deliberately doing that. They just couldn't do it and they really wanted to be there. But I don't know that there's a way that you can actually seal them out. You said something to me and I can't remember the words of what you said, but you said something like, well, that's okay or something. You didn't say it was okay though. You said something else like the spirits will take care of it. And you didn't need to worry too much about someone infringing upon the circle, the class that the spirits take care of, the guides take care of it. Mm-hmm. So before you started this class, is there something you did to set up the guides or this network of the circle so that other people couldn't infringe upon coming in, whether they're aware of it or not? Because some people aren't aware of it, that they do that. Here's another example. When someone gets really upset with you, but they don't say it, and you can feel their anger for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're throwing their emotions around and people don't necessarily understand what that really means. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe one day humanity will wake up and feel that, but so I don't, I'm at a loss because I've known you long enough to know that anytime you bring up something, 90% of the time, I think you're always asking permission all the way. I mean, that's how you taught us in Light Journey and stuff. So I think that's about the only answer is to ask that higher self of that person, is it okay that, or physically say it to them, is it okay if we bring this up?
Yeah, this is all really good material, okay? Because we need to get this simmering within us. And there's the piece about the reciprocity, whether it's with a regular group, with the mountain, with the flowers, with anything that you connect with. And the impact of the materialistic viewpoint or conditioning interfacing with the spiritual world. It's a big thing to deal with when it's your profession, and how do you make peace with how you interface with the material world? It's something that each person has to spend time with.
What comes up for me around that is not having the awareness of what the source of their motivation is, and just sending the most benevolent outcome for them.
This is all good stuff.
This is Elena, and it feels like there's a lot that wants to come out, and my heart is beating really fast, so I'm going to ground. The piece that's coming through for me is this concept of safety in terms of the space that you are holding as a facilitator, creating the sacred circle with the people who have registered to be there. So speaking now as a participant in that circle, not as the facilitator, my trust is in this circle is a safe place. And that means there aren't outside forces trying to come in that haven't authentically shown themselves. Like that, the, you know, having someone connecting from outside of the group shatters that safety, I think is what I'm trying to say.
And we don't live in a perfect world. So remember, I've said a few times that kind of a sober clarity is what we need to have. And to be aware, the more aware and understand the heavy energies, the dark energies. And I'm not talking about evil. I'm just, you know, the Andean teachings are, there's heavy energies and there's light energies. And we just kind of work with the general sense of that. But there's always heavy and there's always light energies. And being able to discern them is important, and that requires allowing clarity and not being rigid in the sense of placing, like even placing your safety in the circle. That your safety comes from, and not you, Elena, but everyone's. Our safety comes from having a certain amount of flexibility, agility, ability to navigate continuums of energies, emotions, thoughts, a certain agility. And so having a belief about the safety of a circle is unrealistic on the participant's part and not clear on the facilitator's part. The facilitator needs to be able to see if there are energies entering the circle that are disturbing the path of the sacredness. I know there have been times in our classes when I've been very clear, like, is someone looking at their phone now? Because, man, I can feel that when you get on your phone and those energies pour in. And there's a difference between someone being in the circle and their little kid or their dog or cat comes into the room, and it's just really just part of the whole thing. It doesn't disturb the energies. I always made it a standard for my children when they were really little and at any time, that if I was holding a session at home, that they had permission to come in, and if they needed me for any reason, that they were not to consider themselves a disturbance. Because they weren't. They just weren't carrying heavy energy with them. And I didn't want them to feel like this was something that excluded them. But there's this clarity that is a sober clarity that's very unclear in these telepathic realms. Emotional clarity of dependence and clinging and codependency and things like that, and energetic intertwining, telepathic invasion. This is all new territory that we're entering into. And the more refined your senses are, the more you'll see, and the more you'll have to hold and let unfold until things become clear and allow the collaborative beings help kind of straighten it out or bring some clarity to a situation. So yes, we ground with Mother Earth. That brings a protective sphere of her arms holding us. We connect with the elements and the spirit of the land and the nature spirits. And again, that fortifies a positive, strong vitality. And it's kind of like having a strong immune system. That's really a way of saying it. And so if we have a strong immune system, we can have a virus or bacteria enter in, and our immune system knows what to do with it. And so when we work with the elements and the directions and bring in the vital energies, living energies, we're building the immune system of the circle. And if some kind of energies want to intrude, depending, it could be from anywhere, and our vitality and connection to living energies is strong enough, it'll get processed. And if our sacred immune system is weakened, will have less ability to know what's going on and to process it and learn from it and grow from it. So it's more of that type of organic process that's going on energetically. And it relates to that sense of fertility that I was talking about. There's a fertility, aliveness. They all are part of a strong immune system in terms of what can match your energy and your energy can process. So, you know, before any kind of group, I know I'm shown exactly what each person's bringing in. And I need to be able to handle that, know what's going on without any judgment, with trust in our process. And it's something that you become aware of. And it's clarity. So it's not judgment. And it's, I think, the best way of describing it is that strong immune system. But it's never perfect.
Nothing's imperfect. Everything's imperfect in this world.
Couldn't hear that. What?
Oh.
What did you say?
I'm sorry. I said, oh, yeah, everything's imperfect in this world.
Uh-huh.
I said to myself, I didn't know I was on. Sorry.
I had one more thing to add, which it came up right as we started talking about this topic. And I think relates back to my sense of safety and security, which is that I have not yet learned the cues for myself around when I am experiencing like a telepathic invasion of my energy. And so I think that's where the I give the trust over to you in the circle, because that awareness doesn't exist. It's not something I have yet. And that feels very scary to me, to be blind in it.
Yes. And yet we're walking around in all of that stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is why the grounding and the connecting with the living energies is so important. It's like constant reinforcement of that energetic immune system. So instead of thinking of it as a hard boundary, which feels safer, like not that door is shut, you're not getting in here. That's not reality on any level. But a strong immune system of living energies that intelligently know what to do with it, which can cause you to grow, understand, go through things that were part of your path to go through, is part of the organic way that Earth is, the way Earth works. So, and it's important to realize if you're trying to put your safety in something else besides yourself and growing your own vital immune system energetically. And my experience is very much that I'm very aware of what people are bringing into the circle. And when I spend a whole evening in a class just grounding, like primary, preliminary grounding, it's because there have been so many heavy energies brought into the circle that that's what we have to attend to first and foremost. We can't go any further without that. So when you hear me really focus on detail in terms of really spending a longer time with dropping the tailbone and the calf muscles and the feet and sensing the energy and allowing the intelligence of the energy to move through you to clear any obstructions and tuning into the intelligence of that energy. When I have a strong focus on that, it's when a lot of heavy energy has come into the group. And it's the way we are. We're where we are right now. You know, we're just this planetary awakening is making us very much aware of the subtle energies, the subtle way they intertwine. And what we're being made aware of is they've been intertwining and impacting each other without us knowing about it. And now we're starting to become aware of it, which actually is a little scarier when you become aware of what's going on the subtle levels. But even last night in our beautiful, beautiful meditation, I'm not sure how anyone experienced that, but for me, it was truly sublime. But even then, when we were taken into this golden pure land, that's how the Buddhists would describe it, I questioned to make sure that there was no trickery going on, actually, because there can be, we can be led down certain paths that have a source that is not pure. And every time I hear a message, get an intuition, I double, triple, quadruple check it from every angle possible and hold it until I get as much clarity as possible. So I don't assume that somehow my perception isn't tainted in a way. And it's very easy. I mean, I just had two examples going on with our house. I kept telling Ken, we've got to check the fireplace. We've got to check the fireplace. We hadn't turned on the gas to make a fire in the fireplace for a couple of years. And for months, I was saying, we have to check the fireplace. Well, the fireplace, when we finally checked it, was just fine. It worked. But then we found out that the chimney's bad and we have to get a chimney rebuilt. And so I was, the best I could do was focus on the fireplace that's in our living room, but I didn't get that the chimney itself structurally was falling apart. But it finally revealed itself. And just again, in the last couple of days, I was wondering about one of the water heaters. I thought, oh, is that going bad? Is that something going to go bad there? And then this morning, I was hearing the sump pump alarm going off. So I was in the vicinity, but I wasn't I hadn't specifically gotten to where the real source of what I was supposed to be paying attention to was, but synchronistically, it brought me to that attention because I was walking around the house and the alarm on the sump pump is really faint and it's in the basement and it's behind folding doors in its own little room and like in the far corner of the basement. And I kept sensing this little pulsing going on, a little sound. And my thought was, oh, you know what? That might be the ringing in my ears. And I was starting to dismiss it as ringing in my ears. And then I happened to walk by the top of the stairs to the basement, and I actually heard the faint sound of the alarm. But it took a couple days for the intuition that was guiding me to come around to where the clarity was. So that happens on every level, where we can get close to what the truth is or what we're trying to be shown. And we can not quite be there. And we have to allow, like, not grab on to the very first thing that we sense, but allow it to show itself more and more clearly. And that applies to everything. It applies to how you work with yourself, how you work with other people. There's an extreme amount of patience and allowing this unfolding to occur so that you eventually come to clarity. And even tonight, as we discussed, you know, the energies coming to the point where the insight about the organic nature, which really was very helpful to get to that point about the immune system of the circle and what an energetic immune system, understanding that brings us into more of a truth than looking for something that keeps a barrier around the group to create safety. We really came to a deeper understanding of that through the process of throwing things out and letting them circulate and being in a sacred circle and letting light come in and bring us to a new realization about it. That's how this all really works.
Sarah? I don't know that I can sense these things. Can I be a facilitator if I'm not aware of these invasive energies?
That's a good question. And so you have to have practice and you have to have feedback. And, you know, during our couple of months where we check in once a month or however many times we set it up, you're going to be working with other people to get more feedback and experience. And the only way you get it is through being willing to self-correct, self-allow it to unfold, develop a relationship with yourself where you're open to not hanging on to anything so tightly that something new can't emerge. That takes a lot of emotional maturity to be able to do that. So this training was set up as kind of the beginning of a process and giving you enough information, energetic transmission, ways of being with the energies to get you started. And a lot comes from that. But, and you may want to do that sooner than later, and you can learn on the job, which I did a lot of. You have to be willing to learn. So it's really a process of what you're called to do and learning from experience. And if you want to jump into it, you jump into it and you find out a lot. It's not up to me to say you're qualified to lead a sacred circle. That really is up to spirit and your spirit and what you're called to. But you're getting a lot of foundational pieces and transmission here. So you apply it anywhere you can in your life so that you get the experience and the feedback. You get a lot of feedback from being wrong. And so you have to be willing to courageous enough to put yourself out there and find out.
I have one more question about the energy of the circle. When, I mean, going back to this example, when you have someone tuning in telepathically, how does that, or does it, shift anything in the energetics of the circle itself?
Sometimes it does. So they may not have gone through the grounding and clearing process that we go through every time. And so they can bring energies into the circle that make it more difficult to come into a harmonic place. And that's, again, if I sense something like that, that's when we go into the details of the grounding to build up the living energies and get the guidance on what to do with that. And I know in myself, you know, I just wish, Ken can attest to this, I think, that, you know, at the beginning when I started doing my work professionally, I cried every night because it was so against my heart to involve money in my healing practice. It took me several years to get to just a modicum of peace about that, and it still doesn't sit well with me. And yet, I knew I was called to do this professionally, and that I had to grapple with this. And it just hasn't been easy because it's totally against my grain and my heart. We do have to learn how to interface with the material world. I made some kind of peace with it, in terms of there are when I feel called and someone really can't afford anything, I have a certain amount of time and that I consider tithing, and it has refined itself, so it's really clear when I should do that. And very often there's some kind of reciprocity that occurs even in the tithing. But so even here, when you pay to take a training, when the material world is involved and paying for it, there's a part of everyone that is evaluating, am I getting what I paid for? Just because we live in that sea of materialism. And those of you who are here for this training are somewhat beyond that. You're here because you were called to it and you recognize that. And so there's less of that. And it's interesting that over the years, the people I end up working with, it's been more and more refined by spirit about who I work with and the level of frequency that we meet at, that the material part has become less and less and less. But there's still a part that's evaluating, did I get what I paid for? And how does that interface with your spiritual nature?
Well, I'm feeling like it's totally aligned with spiritual nature because you're really giving, it is money, it could be something else. The money is it's a commitment on one's part to move forward with something. And it's almost like a written contract within oneself that here I signed up, I paid, now I am committed to move forward with this.
I've never thought of that. Thank you.
Thomas Paine once said, "Nothing of value is achieved without dearness," meaning you had to pay.
In some way. Huh. It really does open up to a lot of mysterious energies. How we are living in this material world, how spirit's interfacing with it, how there's this greater awakening going on. There's a lot of mystery in all of this.
Sarah, I don't want, you guys are at a longer time clock than we are out here in California, so I'm just curious. I really wanted to bring something up tonight, but it went the other direction. Should I just write it on the page and then?
Well, why don't you bring it up and then we'll see, because we have 9 minutes left. What do you
Oh,
have?
okay. I'm not looking at a clock. I thought it was like 10 o'clock your time.
No.
Okay, so when I woke up this morning, I thought it was grounded. I went out and I tried to, but I was really, I don't even, you just have to bear with me through this whole conversation, okay? I was really agitated that I need out of this field. I can't do this anymore. I can't hold this anymore. I can't, it's too big for me, I guess, being on an energetic level was big. I don't know. It's about the only thing. So I really wanted to like, or I wanted to go back to like 3D. Can I go back? I would like to be in 3D and not have to face all this stuff, but I know I can't, but at any rate. So I decided I'm going to go shopping. So I went shopping at Goodwill for a pair of pants and I got them. And then I came home and I played ball and I was still a little agitated. It was like my inner, my outer self was arguing with my inner self. It did not, it was like bucking up against, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I mean, the way you walked us through that meditation on Monday night, it was like, oh my God, I cannot do that. I can feel a lot of stuff, but I don't think I can see that much or describe that much to somebody. But anyway, so when we did the deep, I was fighting even grounding. And finally, when I did, and then they had that one moment when I went clickety click click. I think it freed itself up. But my question to you is I think somewhere in the back of my mind, I haven't been on a week retreat in a long time. But at some point, when you're getting close to a breakthrough, you kind of buck or don't want you. It's like ego steps back in and goes, "No, you can't do that." And if you can continue to push through, you know, you'll find yourself at a better place. But I just want to know, am I the only one feeling that? Because I was like, good Lord, you hold this space for all of us. I do not know how you do it. I'm learning, but I do not know how you do it because I was kind of like, whoa, wait a second. You know, I can't, I don't know. It's just, I'm not putting it in good words, but I'm trying to tell you that it's the way I felt. And then the regrounding helped me to clear it. And I don't feel that way anymore. But it was like something on the program got me to that point. It's kind of like, to be blunt about it, it's kind of like stopping drinking. You're going to stop. And then at one point it comes up and like it's like your inner self wants to test you. Oh yeah, you think you can do this? And then some people make it through and some people don't. So I translate that into me as far as I can't put words to how much you hold space for us, Sarah. I feel it. I always feel it, but I feel it more when I'm in the retreats. And I'm just like, I don't know how somebody does. It's kind of like same thing, like quitting drinking. How do people do it that quit? Well, you learn, you go slowly and you learn how to do it, you know, but there comes a point where you go, I'm not doing that. Did I make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's definitely part of the learning curve. And you're right. It's cyclical. You know what I mean? For every ascension or expansion, there is a point where you come up against the resistance and the sense of I can't do this. And for me, that's when I describe where I feel like I'm holding on. I've fallen off a cliff. I'm holding on with the tips of my fingernails.
Yep.
With all my might until finally my fingers can't hold it anymore and I let go and I move through. But that's how I describe it to myself, that like that resistance just comes up, but it's part, seems to be part of the process. And you go through it enough times that you know, you recognize it. And you just say, oh shit, that's where I am.
Yeah. Like, it's funny. I can hear the song playing in my head. I don't want to grow up.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if anybody else was feeling that way, or if that's just,
yeah.
Are we, I mean,
let's I hear.
Do. I do. For sure. Yeah. I mean, last night I kind of felt like it was a bit of self-sabotage, you know, where it's just getting so expanded, and it was a little scary. Something felt better than not being expanded, but it was a totally new place. And I just drew back in. I contracted a lot. And thinking, can I really do this? I really want to, but am I capable of it? So I had all these doubts and anxiety come in as well. You're not the only one.
Yeah. Anyone else want to chime in?
Yeah, I had it going on Monday night. I couldn't even really bear to sit still in that particular meditation. And I have dear people in my life who they were able to listen to me the next day, and I could ground, and I came through it, and I was able to actually listen to that meditation. I don't know if it was the next day or the day after, but yeah, I was really beside myself on Monday. I haven't had that happen for a long time. In that, you know, at that intensity.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I couldn't wait to hop off the phone. The second we could, that red button was clicked. So. Oh, dear.
I know that feeling too.
Yep. It's good to admit it. I mean, for me, it feels good to be honest about it, and that, you know, it's part of being human.
Right. And, you know, I've said to you, everyone, I've sat through a lot of miserable meditations,
yeah.
being miserable in meditations. And but it got to the point where, oh, you know, like, I'm miserable now, but I know something will break through, you know, and stuff became easier.
It becomes like a marker or an identifier, and not so scary.
Right.
You know, you're going to come through it. It's kind of like when I, if I have a day of feeling depressed, I know that that day might not be what I wanted it to be, but I know that the next day when I wake up, that it will have flushed through, mm-hmm. and I'll have the energy. So I kind of equate it to that.
Mm-hmm. It's getting to know yourself and treating yourself kindly.
Yeah.
And we're human. Okay. Very good. Okay, so tomorrow night again. I can see overall that there's an amazing amount of skill developing in everyone here. Even if you can't see it yourself, it's happening. And that interaction between going through your daily life and then meeting in the evening, and the energies of the whole circle that are carrying us through, a lot's happening, and a lot of agility is starting to come through for everyone. So it's happening in terms of being able to ground, return, learn about that for yourself. That's just really the foundational piece. So any last comments anyone wants to make?
Hey, Sarah, just an administrative question. I thought the schedule had said these sessions were 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. So should I just account for 7 to 10 p.m. for the next two nights?
What did I write? I thought I said 7 to 10.
No, 7 to 9.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I was a little off kilter last night, but now I'm just rolling with it.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Oh, God. Did anyone see 7 to 10 on any of the pages?
No.
No. I saw, it was 7 to 9.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'll tell you, last night I was up until 11:30. And I still had stuff to do afterwards because I just passed out. I mean, you said take a half hour. I set the alarm for 45 minutes. I shut it off and I said, forget it. I couldn't get up.
I'm so sorry.
It was powerful.
I think that I originally said 7 to 10. I had that, and then I must have changed it to 7 to 9 at some point, and I forgot.
Well, so we're blessed.
And then, like, tonight I thought, oh, you know what? We may not go to 10 o'clock. Maybe we'll end a little early.
Now you can feel better about charging money.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're getting more for our money now. I'm getting real punchy at this point.
Someone has to double check me. Okay. Really? Oh, God. I apologize. So, let's just leave it open for what's happening tomorrow night. I have no idea.
Now my expectation is different. So
don't be afraid to bring up those things to me. It's really a challenge to navigate the space I have to be in to lead this type of training and deal with the practicalities. So I can really miss a bunch of the practicalities. It's amazing that I can even work the computer in the state that I'm in. So just let me know, okay? okay. Well, we'll see if it's 7 to 9 or 7 to 10 or 9:30 or whatever. I really thought, oh, my God, you know, there's been a lot of stretching going on with this. And I thought, oh, maybe, you know, maybe we'll end at 8:30, a quarter to 9. Maybe it's kind of the midpoint in the retreat. Maybe they just need a little less pressure or something. But we went the full time. So as long as you're willing to go with it, we'll see what we do. Okay. I'm sorry.
No need to be sorry. No worries.
It's been great.
It has been wonderful. And we're all amazed that you can handle it all at all. Trust me. So thank you. Much gratitude for sure.
Thank you. Okay. Go have a good night's sleep. Okay. Many blessings.
Many blessings. Good night.